My friends, as we continue our Lenten series on the seven tables of Lent, we pick up today where we left off last week in the Gospel of Luke, in the 14th chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. Hear these words. One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to him, "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." And Jesus told him this parable. He said, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land and I must go and see it. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have just been married, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant returned and reported to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you ordered have been done, and there is still room.' Then the man said to his servant, 'Go out into the roads and the lanes and compel people to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.'" My friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. And we give thanks to God for it. There's a plaque on the wall of my mother's beach house with this poem on it. It was given to her many years ago, and she finds these words quite inspiring. It hangs in her kitchen right next to her coffee maker so she can read it while she's waiting for the Keurig to heat up in the morning. And it says this. It says, "This is the beginning of a new day. God has given me this day to use as I will. I can waste it or use it for some good purpose. But what I do with this day is important, for I have exchanged a day of my life for it. When tomorrow comes, today will be gone forever. I hope I will not regret the price I paid for it." Like I said, my mom finds this poem really inspiring, a great way to start the day. But I have a different reaction to this poem. I remember reading it for the first time, and instead of feeling this carpe diem, seize the day kind of feeling, it filled me instead with anxiety and dread. It was that last line that really hit me. "I hope I will not regret the price I paid for it." I started wondering, what if I choose wrong? What if I have regrets? What if I miss out on something because I do the wrong thing instead today? Does any of you ever feel like that? Anyone here today feeling any anxiety? You think you made the wrong choice by coming to church today because a lot of your friends made a different choice today. I'm glad you're here. But regardless of COVID-19 coronavirus, there is a lot of anxiety in the world around us today. So much so that it has been given a name. Sociologists have dubbed this as FOMO, the fear of missing out. Fear of missing out is the worry that you aren't in the know, that you're missing out on the very best in life, from social events to experiences and interactions, that you're going to pick the wrong college to go to, the wrong party to attend, the wrong person to marry. That you are having a lesser experience because you settled early. You made your decision too quickly. There's been a lot of talk of FOMO, this fear of missing out, with the rise of social media. where people post and blog and tweet a very carefully edited, perfect-looking version of their lives. And so many of us look online and we see all of the fun that our friends claim to be having through Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and we start to worry. We feel anxious that our lives are not up to par. And we become unable or fearful to commit to plans or to other people just in case something better comes along. And when I read our scripture text for today, I can't help but wonder if some of the people in this parable that Jesus tells suffered from FOMO. Here's a little interesting piece of background information. Back in Jesus' day, there would have been two sets of invitations sent out before this banquet at two different times. And that first early invitation would have come with the date, but not the hour, like a save the date for a wedding in our culture today. And the second invitation would be sent to only the guest who had indicated their intention to attend just before the feast was to begin. And that invitation, the one mentioned in our biblical text today, is the second invitation. The servant goes out and says, "Come, friends, the time is now. The feast is set." And so it becomes even more surprising that all these folks start to reply with last-minute regrets. Even more so because these regrets are pretty flimsy excuses. Common sense tells us that no one buys land without seeing it first, right? And the excuse of needing to try out newly purchased oxen is silly because, again, you would have gone to see an ox before buying it, right? And is it going to spoil? Can't you wait to see your ox until tomorrow? The final excuse given, "I just got married," it may sound understandable, but remember, you've already RSVP'd yes. This is the second invitation. So it must have been an awfully quick decision to marry if it happened between invitations. So with these flimsy excuses given, the host becomes understandably angry. So he sends out his servant to bring in everyone he can find, the needy folks off the street, for the feast must go on. And we hear this declaration from the host that those neighbors and friends who made a last-minute decision to decline his invitation will now be banned from his table. Might seem a little over the top, a little harsh to us. But we need to remember that in the Gospel of Luke, a feast, a party, a wedding banquet is always a symbol for the kingdom of God. And so the invitation in this case becomes God's invitation to live our lives now in a way that is consistent with the long-promised coming kingdom, where there will be justice and love enough for all. So to turn down this invitation for Luke, it's not just saying no to a meal. It is saying no to living in God's kingdom in our daily lives. And the Gospel of Luke is saying that when we make the choice to live in ways that do not produce kingdom values and plant kingdom seeds for the future, then of course we are unable to sit down at the table, not because God cast us out, but because we cast ourselves out. It is a natural consequence of our own decisions. Let me give you an example. If I choose to be angry, to hold a grudge, to disrespect someone else, And if I am holding all of that inside me, it will be literally impossible for me to sit down and dine in friendly fellowship. That's not God punishing me. I am doing that to myself. But my friends, hear the good news. It doesn't have to be this way. We all are capable of making better choices. We can change. And that is exactly what God calls us to do today. To change, to transform, to let go of everything that is pulling us away from God and from one another, and to move towards God's vision of what the coming kingdom will be. To be transformed by God's vision of what we could be. Yes, there will be times that we will fail and make selfish choices, when we will take the path of the world rather than the path of Christ, when we give in to temptations rather than holding firm in our discipline. But that does not have to be the end of the story. Most of the choices we make are not major life-changing ones, but rather a series of small choices that we make each and every day. Will I make that nasty comment or hold my tongue? Will I share this piece of juicy gossip, that racist or sexist joke that I just heard? Will I stop what I am doing and go out of my way to help someone, even though I don't have to and there's no chance of a return favor? Will I stand up and speak out if I see someone being treated unfairly? Will I choose to smile and be gracious even though I am tired and irritable? Will I share what I have, even though it hurts a little to be generous? Will I make the hard choice for the sake of God's kingdom, because I want to live in kingdom's ways, because I want to dine at God's table? These moments, my friends, we have them every day. They are moments of choice. So what will we choose today? Thankfully, if we fail to make the faithful choice today, and some of us will, we'll have another chance to choose differently in the moments ahead of us. The gift of God's grace for us is this: we have the ability to choose to live in kingdom ways right here, right now. As the poem at my mom's beach house says, we have exchanged a day of our life for it. So the choice is important. I want to close with the story of someone who made a wonderful and courageous choice for good at a point in her life when everything else seemed to go sour. A friend of mine shared the story on Facebook last week, and I thought it was so perfect for today's scripture. So I read that Dana's wedding dress was ready, that her dream wedding was set, paid for, planned out. A young woman was ready for the most wonderful day of her life when suddenly her fiancé got cold feet and called the whole thing off. You can imagine the heartbreak and the bitterness that filled her as everything was ruined. It was too late to cancel and get a refund on the reception hall and the dinner. All of this money would go down the drain. Her heart was broken, but Dana made a bold and courageous decision to share that which she could no longer enjoy. A call was made to St. Mary's Emergency Shelter for the Homeless. And there, entire families all living on mattresses on the floor with blue plastic curtains giving them only a tiny bit of privacy, got a surprise. because those families received an invitation to come to the feast. The hairdresser and makeup team who were hired to do the bridal party instead were sent to the shelter where they did hair and makeup for anyone who wanted it. Staff members raided the donated clothes racks for evening wear, and guests could don fancy outfits and the little girls in frilly dresses. The vehicles, which carried the over 100 guests to the reception hall, instead of limousines, were rented orange school buses. And as the invited guests dismounted their chariots, they walked into this reception hall starry-eyed. They found this softly lit, beautiful place with round tables set for a fancy dinner, lit with candles and floral centerpieces. They enjoyed an elegant meal and an evening of dancing to a live band. It was like walking into a dream. And it was Dana's dream, a dream that she decided to give to others in need. It was a choice for good, even as her own heart was breaking, a choice to give hope even when she felt hopeless. Understandably, the bride did not feel able to face the evening, but her mother and the maid of honor were there to greet the guest and make sure the evening went well. And it did. It was a night to remember. I read this story and thought, how funny. How close this runs to the one that Jesus tells in the Gospel of Luke. In Eugene Peterson's The Message translation, our text reads, "Quickly get out into the city streets and alleys. Collect all those who look like they need a square meal, all the misfits and homeless and wretched you can lay your hands upon, and bring them in. I want my house full." God says, "I want my house full. Let there be no empty seat at my table." So I just want to end by saying today that we find ourselves in an uncertain and unwelcome situation, which no doubt has brought upon a good amount of anxiety for us. I know it has for me. And I think the best that we can do at this point is to remain informed on reliable sources, to take risk and the precautions seriously, practice extra good hygiene, and respond with grace and compassion and flexibility. And to believe that God is present with us in the midst of all of this. I truly believe that today, maybe more than ever before, is a call for each of us to be vessels of God's love and compassion and care, to not only tend to our own well-being, but to consider how we might support the most vulnerable among us, those with health risk and inadequate access to health care and who are on the edge of personal financial need. Let us continue to pray for those on the front lines, the doctors and nurses and first responders, caregivers and medical researchers. Let's lift up our local and national and global leaders that their actions would be prudent and decisive and effective. Remember that I will be available to you should any need arise. I am praying for the health and inner peace for you and those you love. And I ask for your continued grace as we all navigate together an uncertain future with only the certainty that God is with us. What I know for sure, my friends, is that the time is now to say yes to God's invitation, to live courageously in kingdom ways, to do what Jesus would do. The time is now, and the invitation has your name on it. There is room at this table, room for all. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are your flock, and you watch over us carefully and generously. We praise you and thank you for all of the love you bestow upon us, caring for us as only you can do. Today we hear your invitation to come, to be with you, to be at home with you, a place where we are always welcome, remembering that there is always room around your table. We lift grateful hearts, trusting in you and praying in your holy name. Amen.